Welcome to the WWE Podcast, your place for the most passionate wrestling analysis on the web.
Just turn Roman heel. What is WWE waiting for?
When other wrestling podcasts put you to sleep, you can count on the WWE Podcast to keep you engaged and asking for more.
I've been watching wrestling for over 20 years, and that was one of the best matches I've ever seen.
If you're easily offended, this may not be the show for you.
Whatever happened to the men being able to physically retaliate against the women in WWE? This is a fantasy environment.
This is unlike any other wrestling analysis. So without any further delay, let's get the show started right now.
Hey guys, welcome to the show. Thank you for joining me. This is, of course, the WWE Podcast. Thank you for joining me. Very cool guest today. His name is Scott Stanford. He's with the WWE, been with the WWE for about 10 years now, and has done commentary work with guys like CM Punk, voiceover work. He works with Charlie Caruso and WWE Studios and does the pre-shows for the pay-per-views, and he'll be on the pay-per-view this Sunday in the pre-show with Charlie Caruso and doing Elimination Chamber. So very cool guy, great to talk with. I got to talk with him for hours, not just about his career, but WWE and sports in general. I'm a big Yankees fan, and so just really cool guy. Really enjoyed him having on the show, and we talk about Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey towards the end of the conversation, and we got some pretty interesting conversation about that, and I had a passionate take on that as well. And we talked about the first ever WWE Women Tag Team Champions, who we think may come out on top, or specifically he asked me. He almost turned the tables on the interview. Sneaky, sneaky guy. He was a blast, though. He talked about some of his favorite moments in WWE. Lots of really good stuff in there, so I think you guys will enjoy it. But if you haven't joined me before, well, welcome. This is the WWE Podcast, as I mentioned, and I'm going to be doing a lot more of these interviews, hopefully. It's a change of pace from just listening to me, or as one guy put it on my Apple Podcast reviews, that I have a monotone voice and my hot takes are forced. Well, number one, I don't have a hot take session. Number two, I don't think I have a monotone voice, unless you want me to, in which case I can start singing lullabies, if that helps. I don't know. Maybe that's my second career. But guys, thanks for listening to me. And if you like this show ad-free, go to patreon.com/WWE podcast, and you can get this ad-free and lots of other exclusive content as well. And the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view is coming up, so my predictions will be posted there and on my free feed within a few days. I'll be doing my Raw and SmackDown reviews as we speak. Raw has just gone on the air. It is a little after 8 o'clock here on Monday, February 11th. So those of you who are listening to me, I do appreciate you guys, and I really want to thank you for those of you who have taken the time to give me 5-star ratings and reviews. It's an awesome way to help out the show, and it's totally free. Totally free. So, all right, guys, without further ado, I'm not going to wait any longer. Let's get right to Scott Stanford with WWE. Okay, guys, welcome back. And right now, I have a very special guest. His name is Scott Stanford, and he is currently with WWE. He's also a sports anchor. I know that he is with Pix11 News. So without further ado, Scott, welcome to the show.
Yes, there were times I'm sure you knew. You didn't mention Singer, Matt. You forgot to mention Singer.
I forgot the Singer. How are you, buddy? Good. I'm doing great. Oh man, I was YouTubing.
Wait, did you mention 7-time Emmy winner? I don't know if I heard that in the introduction.
Well, the introduction, I didn't want to take too long. I mean, you're a man that does not need an introduction, but I decided to give one to you. So,
yes.
So Scott, just so everyone knows who you are, they may or may not, just let everyone know what you do. I know you're involved with WWE. You're on Pix11. You do some of the pregames for the Yankees, but let everyone know what you do.
Well, for this purpose, I've been with WWE. I just re-signed now for my 10th year at WWE, which is kind of funny because I read online how I was let go a couple of months ago. But that didn't turn out to be true. I read that myself, and I had to call in and say, hey, did I miss something today? And they said, no, we love you, man. You're coming back again. So I basically do all of the studio shows in Stamford, Connecticut, out of WWE headquarters, including this week in WWE with the lovely and talented Charlie Caruso, and all the shows you didn't think still existed, like Bottom Line and Afterburn. And WWE Experience, those shows still air in about 37 countries. So we bang those out on Tuesdays and Wednesdays during the week once the Monday and Tuesday shows have finished. And it's all just, you know, the recap shows air in all those countries. And now, you know, unfortunately, due to the passing of Mean Gene, I say unfortunately on his passing, not unfortunately that I've taken over, because he was always one of my idols growing up. Now I go in once a month on Fridays. Charlie and I bang out a bunch of episodes of WWE Vintage, which also airs around the world. So, you know, Mean Gene growing up, it was always one of my idols. Always wanted to be Mean Gene. Walked around my house going, "All right, Hulk Hogan, come on in." Yeah, so it's just, you know, they keep you busy. Used to do the pre-shows for the pay-per-views, used to do the Monday Night Raw pre-shows with Corey and Booker T and Otunga. We used to do Monday and Tuesday nights, and just a lot of fun. And you mix that in with sports casting every night of the week and trying to take care of my two daughters. I got a nice busy life going.
I guess so. It sounds like you're living your dream in some respects. I mean, really, yeah. It's
well, listen, no, listen, Matt. My dream was always to be Bob Barker. So I haven't become a game show host yet. I was always a fan of Bob Barker on The Price is Right because he got to hang out with three beautiful women all day. The names I can't remember because I was too young at the time. But I always wanted to be a game show host. So I'm working on that next.
Yeah, no. Well, you've laid the foundation, right? You'll have to talk to Drew Carey. But listen, no, thanks again for coming on. And you mentioned quickly on Mean Gene, and I'll touch on him just for a moment. I think he meant so many different things to so many different people in the business. He is one of the few guys, and I was listening to Jim Ross's podcast as well. He mentioned that nobody in his 40 years of being in the world of wrestling, has he ever heard anyone say a bad thing about Mean Gene? Can you mirror that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I knew Mean Gene only because, you know, I used to see him in passing. We became friendly. We would text once in a while. If somebody would pass away, I remember when Roddy Piper passed away for Pix 11, I called Gene to get his thoughts on it for my broadcast that night. But the fun thing was, every time I would see Mean Gene, I would impersonate him to him, and he would go right back at me. You know, I'd say, "All right, Mean Gene, come on in this Monday night at the Garden." And he'd say, "All right, Scotty boy." And we would talk like Mean Gene for, you know, 10, 15 minutes to each other. But he was one of the nicest guys I had ever met. And the one thing I always say when he passed away, the one thing I said that I think everybody would agree, when he said your name in an interview or an announcement, you were big time, and it sounded big time. You know what I mean? And he just not a bad bone in that man's body. And when you needed him to do a favor, he was there for you. So you know, nothing I could say about Mean Gene other than he will be missed dearly. And that guy was literally, I know people say he was the voice of my childhood, or that one was the voice of my childhood. Mean Gene Okerlund was certainly the voice of our childhoods, if you were a WWE fan back in those days.
He had just the pipes that you every announcer dreams of.
Like, amazing.
Like you just said, he could make anything sound important. Mm-hmm. Anything. I mean, he could narrate anything and it would sound big time, as you just said. And
yeah.
The tribute I think that Hulk Hogan did on Monday Night Raw a few weeks back was probably the best that I could have imagined it going, with Hulk Hogan returning. And he made it about Mean Gene, which yep. It should have been, which I loved. The fans were with him. I think everyone was clamoring to see him saying, "Well, you know something, Mean Gene."
Yeah. And, oh, you know Mean Gene, brother.
Yeah, loved it.
And it's funny, everybody always thought that Hulk Hogan gave him the name Mean Gene, but it was really, I just forgot his name. He's going to kill me. Jesse the Body Ventura.
Jesse, yes.
It was Jesse who gave him the name Mean Gene and not Hulk Hogan. And even I thought that was the case until I found out it wasn't. But good job by, you know, Jesse the Body on the Mean Gene. I love it.
Yeah, definitely. So, you know, outside of WWE, I know you do Picks 11 and you do some of the pre-games for the Yankees. And I just did a little bit of a YouTube search on some of your content before we got started. And I saw this one segment that you did on the news, and it was, I believe it was called Gmail. And you read some of the people's tweets on the air that were some favorable and not so favorable, which I absolutely loved. I got to say, I mean, I don't know if you're still doing that segment, but that is... I love any time there's self-deprecating humor and you just own what people say. And, you know, you don't always have to bring on the things that people are praising. You brought on some of the things that people were saying on social media. I loved it.
You know what? Isn't it boring to hear people praise you? You know, it's so much more fun and more comedic when you read the stuff, you know, with the sad music underneath. You know, Scott Stanford really stinks. He shouldn't. He set sportscasting back 20 years. I love doing that, you know, and Mr. G is always my foil. He's been the weather guy here in New York for 100 years. And there's a picture of him holding the mail and it's the Gmail bag and it all just works together. Listen, the funny thing is, you know, really, I get so much positive feedback, and I love it. People are so nice and I try to respond to everybody. If you're going to take the time to tell me how much you enjoy what I'm doing and, you know, at the end of a really crappy newscast for 57 minutes and I come on and I can at least make you laugh before you turn on Seinfeld or you watch Jimmy Fallon or whatever it is, and you want to take 2 minutes to write that to me, I'm so appreciative. But really, every one out of 20 will be just a disparaging remark. They can't stand my corny jokes, my humor. Which, by the way, the corny jokes are on purpose, people, just for so you know. You know, I love reading the because that's what gets the, you know, my job is to get the anchors involved and to get them laughing and get them responding. And when people write, you know, how I'm the worst sports anchor and I shouldn't be on the news, how is this guy on TV? That stuff that used to bother, boy, when you're younger, that bothers you. But as you get into it and you get older, I post them all over the place on Instagram, on Facebook, and I just love the responses that come in. It just cracks me up. So yeah, no, that's the Picks 11 Gmail bag is it's great. I love it.
I did too. I popped for that one. I loved it. And I thought that, you know, anytime, like I said, you can own that, that makes it that much better. And those people that are giving you disparaging remarks, you have to remember they're still watching, right?
Like, oh, so, of course,
you know,
yeah.
It's like you're the heel on TV, right? So like they're watching, they love to hate you, but they're still watching, which is what the most important point.
Listen,
is,
if you're,
right?
If you're turning on Picks 11 to see me give you the scores that you could have caught about 2-3 hours ago, you know, you've come to the wrong place, and there's five other stations in New York that you can go to get your highlights and your scores. And, you know, I like to run stuff, you know, the fun videos offline and just anything we can find that really has nothing to do with, you know, the local Ranger games or the Yankee games. You know, we give you the highlights, but it's always more fun. The people who watch us are not sports fans. They just happen to stick around past the weather.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They're not waiting for me to come on and give them scores. They already know the scores. But when people come up to me in a supermarket or a mall, and it's a wife and a husband, and the guy says, you know what, my wife doesn't even like sports, but you make her laugh every night. That's what I'm trying to do. And that's, you know, I know I've done my job when people tell me that. Not, hey, man, you that was a great highlight of, you know, Manny Machado's home run in the World Series. No, you can get that anywhere.
Yes, exactly. Entertainment value. And that's what you add.
And I don't take anything seriously. Nothing. Nothing we do is serious. We're not curing any diseases. We go on the air. We're off at 11 o'clock. We haven't changed anybody's life in the slightest bit. And it is what it is. And you move along. I go home and I go to sleep.
Exactly. And like you said, as you've gotten older, you've developed a thick skin to not even be concerned about the people who are on social media just wasting their time trying to troll you. And it's great. And you're laughing it off right now. That's
what
I love.
Love it. That's great.
So what are some of your favorite moments, whether it's WWE related or your news anchor, your sports anchor career? Which one do you think has provided more memories for you?
Well,
I'll
tell you what, you know, when I got into the WWE, and it's a long story how I got there through, which I don't even want to bore you with that. But when I got into WWE, you know, I started out by doing studio shows, and then I got the call one day, you know, after about a year of doing studio shows, I got a call on a Saturday night, hey, can you get to Wichita, Kansas on Monday? You know, we'll get you there. Do you have time to go? I said, sure. What am I doing? That's where Monday Night Raw was. And this was it had to be about 2010. So I got on a plane, went to Wichita, Kansas. Who goes to Wichita, Kansas? Not many people. And basically, I showed up to Raw, and it was about 3 o'clock, and I still had no idea what I was doing. And I called my boss back in Connecticut, and he still, don't worry about it. Just get your tie on. And he called me at about 6 o'clock and said, put your suit on. You're calling WWE Superstars with Jerry the King Lawler. And I said, oh, you gave me plenty of notice because they shot that at 7:30 before the 8 o'clock Raw went on the air. They always shot Superstars before Raw. So I went out there and I just, I was no notes, nothing. I was winging it. And before you know it, that's what I was doing for the next 2 years. And I partnered up with CM Punk a couple of weeks, which was great. I know a lot of people love when we were partnered up together because he would just, rip me the whole time and we'd go back and forth. And then I was with Josh Matthews and Matt Stryker. And I mean, it was just a terrific time. But I think the best one of my best days ever in WWE was WrestleMania 29, I want to say. Was that was the one at MetLife, the last one at MetLife, I think.
Yep.
When I hosted we did the first WWE pay-per-view pre-show for that WrestleMania, and the panel was myself, JR, Kofi Kingston, and Dusty Rhodes in a stadium with 75,000 people. And it was just the energy in that building was phenomenal. I mean, when you're doing a pre-show and they're all chanting for Dusty and JR, it was just fantastic. And that was the first pay-per-view pre-show that we actually did. I think it aired on like YouTube and Facebook and things like that.
It was electric. That was one of my favorite WrestleManias in the last 10 years was WrestleMania 29. And listening to you, and I do remember watching that pre-show. So that's funny you mentioned, and I do remember watching you with CM Punk and some of the comments he would make to you and the faces he would give you. I mean, now you're making me want to go back, and that, I may do that after our call. I mean, some of it was just classic stuff.
There's on YouTube. There's I think somebody put together a montage. If you YouTube CM Punk wrestling calls. And it's just he and I. And he's just,
okay, I did not see that. So
everything I say, he rips me and he tells me, it's a good thing you're a good comedian because you suck as an announcer.
I did see that. Yes,
all that good stuff. So it was. He was injured at the time, so I think we did 2 or 3 weeks together. And he was just so miserable doing it. That was the last place he. But he was actually very good.
Very good. He could have been, if he wanted to, stayed a commentator, and I think done very well. But he was such a multi-talented guy. But you looked at him and the comments he was making, and I'll have to look at the compilation after this call. I'm telling you, I'm doing that after this call. But he seemed genuinely miserable. So if you're telling me he was actually miserable, that came across very well, which made TV even better.
It was actually very funny. And another thing I used to have fun with is on the Monday Night Raw pre-show, we had a little thing going where I would always introduce the guys with some funny introductions, and I would always introduce Book and almost on an insulting basis, and he would look at me with his, oh, you did not just say that. And people online just started running with it, that Booker wanted to kill Stanford and Corey had to hold him back. And it was, all right, Book, listen, tonight I'm going to say this, you're going to do this, and everybody's going to think that you're ready to kill me. And it was just so much fun how, you do it, you get the response online and people just go nuts with it. And they think they don't know what's real, what's not real. And it's just very funny.
It was great. And on that same front about what's real and what's not, one last thing I want to touch on with you is the Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey. I mean, this main event of WrestleMania, I think not only is it the women who are main eventing WrestleMania for the first time ever, which is awesome and historic, but the fans have now turned on Rousey. And I don't think WWE is foolish enough to believe that at WrestleMania, Ronda Rousey is going to be perceived as the babyface. I don't see how they believe that's going to happen. So what are your thoughts just in general about this match? Like, how historic is this? Is this something that internally people are buzzing about? How do you view this match? For the first time ever, the women are main eventing WrestleMania.
Well, Matt, are you looking past Elimination Chamber with Ronda and Ruby? Are you really? Are you not giving Ruby any chance at Ronda at Elimination Chamber in Houston?
Listen, I really feel that there is. There are not too many times I feel like something is a lock and I would put money on it. But listen, I respect Ruby Riott. I think she is a great hand. I think she is very talented in the ring. Her best days are in front of her. But right now, Ronda Rousey is a bulldozer that has no – she cannot lose to Ruby Riott at Elimination Chamber. They may make her look strong, and they should. But right now, it would make absolutely no sense. So to answer your question, Scott, there may not be a better bet right now than having Ronda Rousey beat Ruby Riott at the Elimination Chamber. So that's your answer.
And do you feel, Matt, that there will be no Charlotte interference from now until, what is it, April 7th, right? April 7th, Sunday?
Yes.
Do you feel there will be no Ronda Charlotte Flair interference from now until then, where it could end up being a three-way or something to where it's not even Becky Lynch and Ronda Rousey in the main event?
Now, see, I'm going to be very honest about this, and it's a very diverse fan base, I think, that they're very divided on this, because people are telling me, or trying to make the argument to me, that by adding Charlotte Flair to this match, it's going to be a better wrestling match. It's going to be a better story. I would counter by saying, when is the last time we have been this highly anticipated of a one-on-one match? Not even just the women's, but in the men's division as well. When is the last time we have seen and wanted a match this caliber at this level and wanted it for so long? It was derailed at Survivor Series, and now we got it at WrestleMania. And adding Charlotte Flair, as great of a talent as she is, and I think she is much better and more natural as a heel. That's all great and well, and I love Charlotte as a competitor, and as I just mentioned, she's one of the best female heels in the business. But in my mind, it's Ronda and it's Becky, period. By adding Charlotte, I really believe that you're muddying the waters of this story. You can do the triple threat at a later time. Right now, it's Becky, it's Ronda. I think, and I mean no disrespect to Charlotte whatsoever, this is actually subtraction by addition by putting Charlotte in there.
Do you see how I just made you answer your own question? I saved myself from having to answer any of that.
That was sneaky. I appreciate that.
You did a nice job though, man. I like the insight. Very nicely done.
Thank you. I really abbreviated my rant on this from last night. I recorded a show and I had this whole rant on this. And look, I think it's going to be an awesome match. I'm looking forward to it. I really hope it stays one-on-one. WrestleMania should always be one-on-one, not for every circumstance, but for title matches. I'm not a fan of triple threats. I think WWE at times overdoes the triple threat format. And it's Becky and it's Ronda, and I don't want distractions from Charlotte, as great as she is. So.
All right, let me ask you one more question here on the Scott Stanford Wrestling Podcast. Who do you like in the Elimination Chamber to come out with the very first WWE Women's Tag Team Championship?
This is something that I think is, and I hate going with favorites. Favorites are so easy to pick.
Let me give you who's in, and then you tell me who you like. All right.
Yep.
You got Nia and Tamina. You got the Riott Squad. Liv Morgan reminds me of a young Pamela Anderson. Her face, but we'll move along with that. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. You got your Iconics and Bayley and Sasha and Naomi and Carmella. Who do you think comes out with the very first women's tag team titles?
I'm going to go with the front runner here, but because it makes the most sense, and that would be Bayley and Sasha. I really think that, and that's not by a wide margin, but if I was to put money on it, I would say Bayley and Sasha. I think that both of these women have been on again, off again, frenemies. We love you, we hate you, I'm attacking you backstage, and then I love you. But I think right now, this is the make good on all of that. I think that this may be WWE's way of making good on all of the back and forth. And at times, I feel like they may not even have known themselves where they were going with the booking based on the just on again, off again, week to week, back and forth. So Bayley and Sasha, to me, should be the inaugural women's champion, tag team champions in WWE, simply based on name value. I'm making good on all of this back and forth nonsense at times. And I think that ultimately you want babyface champions to be the first to hold them. So that's my pick. I think a close second, if you're going to go with a heel team, I could actually see the Iconics coming out of this. They are great talkers. They could brag forever that they were the first ever women's tag team champion. So if you're going to go with a babyface team, it's Sasha and Bayley. You're going to go with the heel team, I think it's going to be the Iconics. So that's my picks.
I could see the Iconics winning on Sunday and then losing it the next night or on Tuesday night on SmackDown Live. You know what I mean? Let them win it, then lose it again on Tuesday night or Monday night, whenever they should come and defend it.
Mm-hmm. And again, Nia and Tamina too. Nia is getting some serious heat right now. Not just in the arena and everything that she's done to Becky Lynch, and we all know the story with the broken nose, broken face, and all that. But the heat that people are giving her on social media is real, and it's brutal. But if I was in Nia's shoes, I would say this is awesome. I want that true heel heat, not that cool heel. I want to be hated, which is a very rare thing in today's wrestling environment, in my estimation. So Nia is, and I think she should continue to be a heel. I could see those two coming out as well. I would say it's up in the air. I'm going to stay by my guns. I'm going to say it's Sasha and Bayley.
All right, we'll hold you to it. We'll see what happens. That's a week from Sunday. No, that's this week.
That's this Sunday.
All right. Yes, that's true. Sunday in Houston. It's going to be a good one. Elimination Chamber is always fun.
It is. I love it. And, having them superstars come out in timed intervals, it's awesome to see. You just, they can pair potential WrestleMania opponents up. There's, some great dynamics that can happen in the match. Plus, the whole Daniel Bryan WWE title, which, by the way, I love the hemp belt. It's awesome. I'm telling you, if WWE ever makes that available on WWEshop.com, I will be the first one on there ordering it. It's just awesome. And I just, it's such a great touch that no one has ever done before. We've seen the smoking skull belt. We've seen the spinner belt. But this is something that is just awesome. And I love it.
Yeah, no, I sent a note to the writers. I said if he loses the belt, somehow it should get lit on fire and the whole place just gets high as a kite.
I didn't even think of that. That's very true. Oh my god. Especially if they have the stand selling the belts as well.
Right. Doritos will be flying off the shelf.
Oh my god. So that's a marketing scheme. Oh god. But listen, Scott, I really appreciate you coming on. Is there anything that you want to let my listeners know that you're doing? Any projects you're working on, where they can find you on Twitter and that kind of stuff?
Well, listen, Twitter's at ScottStanford1, Instagram the same. And no new projects. I have a couple of quick charity stand-up comedy things coming up in the city. I like to dabble in that a little bit. I had fun when Ziggler had his back at SummerSlam over the summer. We did some fun stuff. But no, nothing really. Picks 11 and WWE this week in WWE, which is the one that runs on the network every week on Fridays and then for the rest of the weekend. And it's all good, but I appreciate you having me on. And it's amazing. We're 8,000 miles away, and it sounds like we're right in the same room.
It sounds like you're right next to me. I think that has a lot to do with your new voice equipment, which
my brand new Rode NT1. Yes.
It does sound great. So listen, Scott, thank you for joining me. We'll have to do this again sometime down the road, and I'll check you out this week on the pre-show.
Anytime, buddy. Thank you, Matt.
All right,
appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.